Good evening, gentlemen. If you don't know me, my name is Ed Nall. I'm the executive pastor at RBC. Most of you probably know that. I want to introduce to you our speaker for this weekend. His name is Jamie Winship. He's been a good friend of mine for a number of years. We were brought together, as many men are, by our wives, who became good friends, I don't know, 20 years ago or whenever that was. Jamie has been a missionary. He was a policeman for Fairfax County for a number of years before he and his wife both felt called to go to the mission field. Then he went down to Columbia International University, I get that right, and got his degree and went to Indonesia for his first term, which was pretty discouraging from what I recall. And then he learned from a good friend there, a man who has become a friend and a mentor to him, how to reach Muslims for Jesus Christ. He began to do that work on his next tour, and God began to bless it, and great things happened. My wife and I were privileged to visit them in Indonesia a couple of different times, and great things happened for us while we were there. And then we visited them. They became missionaries in Amman, Jordan after a period of time. And we were privileged to go there and visit with them, and great things happened. The reason I wanted Jamie to come here, the reason that Tony and I wanted Jamie to come here and speak to you, is because it's not even so much the way he speaks, although he's very good at that. It's who he is. It's how he shares Christ wherever he goes. Wherever he goes, people come to know the Lord. That's why we wanted you to be exposed to him this weekend. So welcome my good friend, Jamie Winship.
Thank you. Thanks. Wow, that was nice. Yeah, when Tony called me, Tony's the one that, where are you, Tony? Right there, yeah. Tony called me and he said, he knew I was in the States. And he said, Jamie, I need to ask you a favor. And I said, yeah, what? And he said, can you come up? We can't find anybody. We need a speaker for the men's retreat. And you're cheap, and you're close, and can you come? And I said, yeah. Tony and I have known each other for a long time, so he doesn't really care what I think about what he says about me. And so I said, yeah, I can do that. And he said, can you, you know, when you give your testimony, could you say that I led you to Christ? I was like, Tony, oh, what? What? He goes, yeah, you know, I need a little more credibility in the church. I'm on staff now, and could you say I led you to Christ? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I can maybe be vague about it, you know, and mention your name or something. He said, can you say like you were thinking about ending your life and I came by? Like, really? You mean to say that? Yeah, like up on a ledge or something, and I was walking by. You know, and it was ordained, you know, because we're Calvinists, and I was there, and... No, he didn't really say that. I'm just messing with him. Yeah, Tony invited me, and I've grew up in this Reston area, Northern Virginia area, so it's good to be back here. And I want to talk about what we're going to do this weekend. I love this passage. I didn't actually realize it was this particular passage until I got here. I knew it was talking about trust, but... Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And the reason that's interesting is Ed mentioned we work specifically among Muslims. We have for a long time. And a good Muslim prays 18 times a day that God will show him the straight path into the kingdom of God. It's called Al-Fatiha. It's the first chapter of the Quran. And so 18 times a day he's saying they're asking God to show them the path, the way that is straight that leads into the kingdom of God. And so when we're sharing our faith with Muslims, we talk about, we have a very similar verse that talks about for us to lean not on our understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will show us the straight path. And it's a real common ground between them. So it's interesting. I like this passage, and we're going to talk a lot about that. But here's what we're going to do. Here's what's going to happen over the... Oh, by the way, the last time... I don't speak often at retreats. I only do it for my friends. But the last time I did it, we were in Iowa, I think, Iowa City or somewhere. And it was a group like this. It was couples. And I said, the last night of it, I said... I was all worked up, and I said, anybody that wants... We were on our way to Iraq. We'd already been there, but we were in a break. We're on our way back. And I said, anybody that wants to come to Iraq with us, We'll be at Gate C, Atlanta Airport, C8. You be there. You go with us. You know, it's kind of cool to say that stuff because no one ever does it. So we get to Atlanta Airport the next week. We go to the Gate C, and there's a couple standing there. Wes and Amy Hopwood were their names, and they were from Iowa, and they said, we'll go. And they did. They got on the plane with us, and they went, and they're in Afghanistan today. They spent a year with us in Iraq. So they're in Afghanistan today with their new son. They're amazing, and they were engineers working in Iowa and figured, let's see if this guy's really what he says. And so they showed up, and it was amazing. They lived at our house for a year. So when I do that tomorrow or Sunday, I will take you with me if you want to go. But just all right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to study, the topics I'm doing is God, or God and us. God, us, and others. God, us, others, and mission. That's what we're going to do. Here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to walk away from this weekend thinking, maybe God can do a whole lot more with my life than what I think. And I hope you walk away saying, I know he can. I know he can. Because we're going to dig down deep into this stuff. And when we get down deep into it, you're going to find out that God is probably the coolest. He's probably the most incredible thing, relationship that you'll ever have or know. In a way that you don't even know yet. So let me give you an example of how this is going to work. An example of what happens when you start to believe God. We were in Jordan. We just came from Jordan. We've been there for 5 years. We were in Iraq. Then we moved over into Jordan. And we have summer teams come out, you know? And we're not typical with summer teams. We like our summer teams to just do straight evangelism the whole time. So we're not into construction, that sort of thing. It's just like, get out there and share your faith with Muslims. And we train you how to do that and all that stuff. In fact, I was telling Ed, we just had two high school groups go from our church in Atlanta. The youngest was 14. 14 to 17-year-olds in two groups of 10. Those two groups, in 2 weeks, started 12 Bible studies among Muslims. Can you believe that? In neighborhoods. That's how fast you can do it. That's how open Muslims are. And that's what high school kids can do in the Middle East. Imagine if you're a little more mature and you're in the university, what could happen? So we have this short-termer come to us, and I just want to describe him for you so you get the picture of this guy. He grew up on a commune in California. That's picture number one in your brain, a guy that grows up in a commune. He's 25 years old, and his name is Mana Harvest Moon. Does that help you figure out what he's like? Grew up in a commune. He's 25. His name is Mana Harvest Moon, and his favorite word was dude. That was his favorite word. Couldn't say a sentence without that word in it. Okay, he comes into the Muslim world. Not exactly the perfect missions candidate, but we figure we'll give it a shot. So Mana comes, introduces himself to me. He goes, yeah, my name's Mana. And I said, okay, nice to meet you, Mana. He goes, it's not manna. Like the bread from heaven. It's manna. And I'm like, where do we get this? Is there any screening at all in this processor? Where did he come from? And I say, okay, Mana, Harvest Moon. Okay, gotcha. I'm here to serve. All right, good. So what we do when we have short-termers like that, we just do this simple illustration. We teach them this simple illustration. We call them the kingdom circles. It's just a series of circles explaining to the Muslim what we're all about. Kind of gets them into a Bible study. So Mana comes in with some of our other short-termers, and I'm showing them the kingdom circles, and I'm explaining it to them. And it's about movement from this circle to this circle. And Mana's just sitting there like, he's like that. And I said, does everyone understand the circles? You know, one guy says, yeah, it's about, you know, Muslim into kingdom. And I said, Mana, do you understand? And he goes, I love circles. So, well, it's not really about just circles. It's about movement from circle to circle. It's awesome. Okay. So we train and train 2 days, and then we send them out to go out into Amman. We don't care where. We don't care to who, and do these circles with somebody. So Mana's all excited. You tell people about the circles? Yeah, Mana, go, go. And so we just let him loose out in the city. This is called trust. This is called God. And so we let him loose out in the city, and Mana's wandering around East Amman, which is a pretty rough section, Palestinian refugees and Iraqi refugees. He's wandering around, and he's going down this little alley, and he sees this old guy sitting in a lawn chair out in front of a shop. Mana's like, yes. And he goes up to the guy, and he says, can I show you something I learned that has circles? And the guy's like, are you an American? Yeah, dude. We told him, don't call Muslims, dude. They don't know what it means, but he can't help it. It's like, he goes, yeah, dude. And this is an older guy, a guy in his 60s. And so... So the guy says, yeah, sure, sit down. Mana sits down, does the kingdom circles for the guy. And the guy goes, wow, that's the most incredible thing I've ever heard. Keep going. I want to hear more. And Mana goes, that's all I got, dude. I'm spent. And the Muslim guy goes, well, do you know anyone else that knows how to do what's next? And Mana goes, oh, yeah, I know some dudes. He calls us. He calls me. I mean, happen to be in Palestine. What's up, Mana? I met this dude at a store. You know, we did the kingdom circles. He wants to do more. What do we do? And I said, okay, go home. Wait at your apartment. And I'll get one of our other guys that's been there longer to come get you and go back to the guy. He says, okay. So I call this other guy on our team. His name is Wes. Now, Wes has been with us. He and his wife were with us in Baghdad. We trained him in Baghdad. They moved over to Jordan with us. And Wes has been on the field like 5 years. And he's very, very good. But he's from Georgia. That's not a but. I shouldn't say that. He is from Georgia. And his wife's from Eufaula, Alabama. So they're an interesting couple. And their Arabic's very interesting, how they speak it. But anyway, so I call Wes. And Wes is an excellent missionary. And I said, Wes, you know Mana? Now, Wes and Mana, you know, if God ever put a team together, this would not be it. These two together. This is called God and others. And so I said, Wes didn't really understand Mana. Mana didn't understand Wes. And I said, Mana's got a guy, older guy. Can you follow up? Take Mana and follow up on this guy. And so Wes is like, all right. Now, Wes talks really fast and really southern. And it's like we always have, whoa, Wes, slow down. So Wes gets with Mana, and he's explaining to Mana the strategy. And he always called Mana, Mana. He just couldn't help it. Now, Mana, that's how he talked. Now, Mana, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down there, and I'm going to meet with a guy. You know what I mean? I'm going to meet with a guy, and I'm going to start talking to him, and I'm going to share with him the Bible. You listening, Mana? Okay. And then we're going to go from there. And now, you know what? And he goes through the whole strategy. And Mana goes, I don't know one word you said, man. So Wes says, all right, just let me do the talking. So off they go. So this bizarre team that God puts together. So they go and meet with this guy. And they meet with them. And they spend the day with them. And then the next day with them. And I'm still in Palestine. Me, Don and I are doing a project in Palestine, and Wes calls me and he says, are you near a television in where you are in Palestine? I said, no. He said, well, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? I'm watching television right now, and the guy that Mana did the kingdom circles that we just met with is on TV. He has a weekly show. He's an Islamic scholar. He has 1 million viewers. Now I'm thinking, okay, a guy like that, and Mana's our first guy that he meets. This is God, us, others. And so Wes says, man, he says, what are we going to do? This guy is so high profile. He already knows who we are. What do we do? And I said, go win him. Isn't that what we pray for? Is God afraid of this? Did God lose control of Mana and Mana accidentally went off and shared with this guy by accident? And Wes is like, I knew you were going to say that. I said, Wes, we pray for these kind of guys. Go get him. God's given him to you. Go get him. So Wes goes, starts meeting with the guy regularly with Mana. And then Mana finishes up his short term and goes back to the commune in California. And Wes continues on. Well, he's meeting with Wes, and Wes is studying. We start with Adam and then go to Noah and then Abraham and then Moses like this. It's called the Message of the Prophets. It's a study we wrote. And he's going through it with the Sheikh, and the Sheikh loves it. It's like he's hungry for it. Now, this guy is probably the best Quranic scholar we've ever met. And so Wes is going through. But then Wes starts to get intimidated by the guy. Because Wes is 27 years old, and although he's very good, sometimes he becomes unsure of himself. Because he starts to lean on his own understanding. And he starts to falter because he starts to think about the facts, and the facts are, I'm 27, my Arabic's decent, I'm talking to a guy that has 1 million viewers that's a Quranic scholar. How can this be? And he starts to falter. And he starts to think, maybe this can't be done. And so he's willing to let this beautiful opportunity go away. Because it's too big. It's too much. We can't do this. What are we thinking? For a little while, we thought maybe we could do it. But man, come on, let's get real. This guy starts talking on television about us, we're dead. And he starts to back away. We come back from Palestine and meet with Wes. What's going on? He goes, man, I just don't feel like I can do it. And I said, why? Well, because my Arabic's not that good. And I said, Wes, did God give us this guy? Because if he did, we better take him. I'll go with you. This is accountability. This is brotherhood. This is men together. Let's go together. We'll get him. So we go the next week, and Wes introduces me to him, very formal Arabic culture. And we talk and we share and talking about our families and everything. And says to me, do you believe the same things that Wes believes? And I said, I do. I'm glad he didn't ask me if I believe what Mana, because I don't know what Mana actually believes. He believes in circles. That's all I know. And so I said, I do. And he said, will you continue with us in this study? I said, yeah, that's what I'm here to do. So we study together. And then at the end of the time, I said, you know, you're a really good man. You're a good man. But there's a lot you don't know yet. And he was like, whoa, do you know who I am? That's what he said to me. Do you know who I am? And I said, do you know who I am? He said, no. And I said, wait till you see who we are. And he said, okay. And so we keep studying. He comes to my house the next week. We study again together. Come back. We rotate back and forth in houses. And we're just working our way through all the major prophets through the Bible. We're at his house. We get to David, which is he's a prophet in Islam, but he's the most difficult for them because the Quran says you must know David and the Psalms to be a true Muslim. Well, they don't know the Psalms. They don't have the Psalms. So the Sheikh says to me, I don't have the Psalms. They're called Zabur in Arabic. I don't have them. I said, would you like them? He said, yeah. He said, I would. Hand him the Zabur. I hand him the whole Bible, actually, and he says, okay, thank you. And we leave, and we're riding back to my apartment, and I said to Wes, you know what's going to happen now? And this is something I want you guys to remember all weekend, okay? Two things that we've forgotten as believers. One is that God still speaks to us. We've forgotten that. You know how I know we've forgotten that? Because we talk too much, and we never encourage another person to listen to God instead of us. Just listen to God, because he still speaks. Now, the reason we're afraid of that is because we haven't heard him speak in a long time in our own life. It's hard to challenge a seeker with, no, God will speak to you. because we haven't heard him in a long time. Man, we need to hear him regularly. Just on a side note, I was in a Burger King in Jordan, and I was there to meet a Muslim guy that another girl from another board had met. This guy's about 27, giving her a hard time in a class she's teaching, asking about Jesus. She calls me, says, "Can you meet this guy and talk to him?" I said, "I'll meet him in Burger King in Amman." I like to meet him on my own soil, you know, so to speak, right by the Whoppers, where I feel empowered. And so I find this guy in the Burger King. It's a real crowded Burger King. I sit down with him. I got a young guy from our team with us. He's new, been on the field 3 weeks. I said, "Come watch this. You want to see something awesome? Come watch this, because you got to learn it." So we go to the Burger King. So we sit down. The Muslim guy's talking to me. He says, "How do you know Jesus forgives your sins?" Ah, he's screaming and yelling about it. Typically, we don't get into it with them, but the Lord just is like, "Just tell him. Tell him." So I said, "Well, okay, I'll tell you how I know Jesus forgives me. One, it's because it's written in the Injil. And two, because he tells me that I'm forgiven all the time. He reminds me, 'I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you.'" And the Muslim guy goes, "What are you saying? Are you saying that God speaks to you, Allah speaks to you?" And I said, "That's exactly what I'm saying." And he leans over the table, right in my face, and he goes, "You're a liar." The new guy's going, "Is this good? Is this what it's going to be like for the next 20 years? Now, what do you do when a guy does that to you? What do you do? You have a couple options. You can reach, you know, from my police department expertise, you can reach your hand behind his head and boom, slam his head on the table. That's called the Crusades. We've tried that for 1,400 years. Doesn't work. Or I can leave because I'm in his, I mean, there's 500 Jordanian Muslims around me in this place where he's yelling at me. It's not probably a good place to do anything dramatic. So I could leave. So I could fight or I could leave. Neither. We've done that in the Muslim world for 1,400 years. We fight them or we just say, "Who cares? Leave them alone." And they perish and we lose. So here's what I did. I stood up. This is another option because God still speaks. So I stood up and I stood up in the Burger King, and my new guy was kind of like behind, and so I pulled him up, like, "Stand up." When I stand up, he's like, "You stand up. We're on the same team. Okay, you do what I do." And so I walk around, and I kneel down on the floor next to the table in the Burger King, get on my knees. And I pull the new guy down next to me, get him. And I said to the Muslim guy, "Come here, get down here with us." And he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "You said I'm a liar. You said God doesn't speak. Get down here with us. He'll speak to you right now, right here. Come on." And we put our heads down on the floor, me and the new guy. And the Muslim guy, like, "You're crazy." And he runs out of the Burger King. And the new guy goes, "Was that good?" You know, I'm kind of like having a hard time following this evangelism style that we're doing here. So the guy, and I said, "I don't know. We'll find out. You know, we'll find out. But don't you ever let someone say something like that to you. You let the Lord speak to them. Because God still speaks. The reason we don't do stuff like that is because we're not sure God still speaks. That's why. We're afraid that he won't. So we don't do it. So then the other person says, "Well, you're not that convinced that he speaks, so why should I be convinced?" And on we go. So that guy goes back to his apartment. He calls the new guy on our team, and he says, "What's wrong with your friend?" And the new guy's, I'm new here. I don't know what's wrong with him. That's the first time I've seen that. And the guy says, "Well, he obviously is convinced that God speaks to him to do something like, you can get arrested for that." And the new guy says, "Well, God does speak to us." And the guy says, "Well, I want to learn how to do that, have that happen, but not from him. I'll learn it from you." And so he comes over to this guy's, new guy's house. This guy leads him to Christ. And then he goes back and gets two of his friends, and those guys come, and he leads those two guys to Christ. In his first month, he's led three Muslim men to Christ. Now, I mean, you know, you hear 10, 15, 20 years. Doesn't have to be that way, because God still speaks. And then the other thing we've forgotten is, his word still cuts. That's what it does. It cuts. It's a sword. It cuts to the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Here's what we do. Got my Bible, holding it up in front of the Muslim. I say to him, "This is a sword." He says, "I don't believe you." "Look got it. It looks like a sword, doesn't it? What if I was holding a real sword? It's got a blade. I said, "That's look at that. That looks just like a sword." I don't care. I don't believe it. See the blade? I don't care. All right, I've got documentation to prove this is a sword. Greek documentation. It's a sword. I don't care. I don't believe your Greek documentation. Oh. If you want to prove this is a sword, what's the fastest way to prove it to somebody? I don't think that's a sword. Oh, ow, it is. Don't need any documentation to prove that. Use it. Don't defend it. Use it. So with the sheikh, that's what I know. That's what I know. No matter, I don't care how much he knows. I don't care who he is in the country. I know two things. God still speaks and his word still cuts. That's what I know. And it'll happen. It comes. That's what trust is all about. So we go. So we're at the sheikh's house. And I said to the sheikh, you know, I say again, you're a really good man. You really, you know, you really love God and you really, you give to the poor and all that stuff. But you lack one thing to make you everything you want to be. And he said, what is that? And I said, I can't tell you. It's a secret. I love doing that to Muslims. It's a sick sort of thing I have. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, it's important. I can't just blurt it out like this. I got to pray about it. I need to know how Allah wants to talk about this. God wants to talk about this. Come to my house next week and I'll tell you the secret. Oh, he is crazy. He comes to my house next week. Now, the next week, three of our elders from our church in Atlanta were there visiting. And I said, I want you guys to watch this. You're not going to believe what happened. And you get to see it firsthand so that you know it's not something I'm just saying. So they're there at the house. The sheikh comes over. You know, typically it's you open the door. He kisses me. You know, how's Donna? How's your family? Here's my friends. He's just like, what's the secret? That's how he was when he came in. I'm not kissing you. I'm not drinking your tea. I want to know the secret. So now if you're with a Muslim guy like him, and you're in the New Testament, and you're looking for a man in the New Testament who loves God, gives to the poor, prays every day, but doesn't have Jesus, who is that? Cornelius. Right? That's Cornelius. So I show him. I said, Bassem, look, read this. And he reads it. He's funny when he reads the Bible or anything. He hits the table like this. You ever see? He goes, what? Do you know what this says? That's how he talks. It's like, yes, I do. And he's reading through and he's reading about Cornelius, the description of Cornelius. He goes, a Muslim in the Bible. I didn't know there were any Muslims in the Bible. He thought Cornelius was a Muslim because it's a perfect description of a good Muslim. I said, well, he's not a Muslim. He's a Roman. He's Italian. We have Italian Muslims. And I was like, all right, whatever. Go ahead, keep reading. So he keeps reading. He reads Peter. He goes, and a Christian. You know why he called Peter a Christian? Because he wouldn't go to the Muslim. He's a Christian. He won't go to the Muslim's house, even though God's telling him he won't go. Muslims are dirty. Muslims are dangerous. That's what Bassem was saying to me. I felt so bad. I was like, Here's my elder sitting behind me. Good job, Jamie. You're doing a fantastic job with these guys. And I said, well, no, he's not really a Christian, but it doesn't matter. Read what happens. He reads through, and he sees Peter go to Cornelius' house, and Christ is introduced, and they're baptized and everything. And Peter says, I now see there is no favoritism. God is showing me he has no favoritism among men. And Bassem goes, that's what we need. No favoritism among men. And I said, it only comes through Jesus, Bassem. Do you see that? Good Muslim, good Christian, whatever you want to call them, Christ is the only thing that can make them one. If you want to be one with me, if you want to be one with us, only Christ can unite us like that. He was just silent. And then I said to the elders in my church, I said, listen, kneel down in front of him. We knelt down in front of him. You know, he's a very distinguished looking sheikh. And we put our hands on him and he was all like, no, 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 don't kneel in front of me. And I said, we're kneeling for you, not to you. We're kneeling for you in front of the throne of God. And we laid our hands on him. I said to the elders, start praying one by one for this guy to come to Christ. And they prayed, and we all prayed. And we were holding on to him. And we said, God, I said, God, in the name of Jesus, bring this great teacher into your kingdom. And we were just silent, had his head down. And then he lifted it up, and I said, God spoke to you, didn't he? I know he did. He did. And I said, do you want to tell us what he said? He said, I don't even know how to say it. It was so powerful. I can't even explain it to you. He said, come to my house next week. Oh. So we wait all week. The elders are all fired up, but they got to go back, so they can't come with me. Me and Wes go. I sit down with them. Did you read the Bible that we gave you? Yeah, I did. What'd you read? I read all of Zabur, all the Psalms. And I read 16 or 14 chapters of Matthew and all of Revelation. He goes, I didn't get Revelation. He goes, there's something about 666 that seems important. Can you explain that to me? And I said, no, it's at the end because that's the last thing we talk about. We talk about this now. And goes, okay, yeah, I've been reading it. And what does the word do? Whew, cuts. His bee was bleeding all over the place. The word cut him so deeply. And God speaks and his word cuts. And we're all excited. And he says, can you just explain Matthew to me? Explain. And he's sitting there and he's shaking. And he goes, Jamie, tell me the story of Moses one more time. Because Muslims think in a cyclical form like this. So you think you're progressing, and then they'll go backwards, but it's just the way they process like this. So can you go back to Moses again? Yeah. What do you want to hear about Moses? Tell me the story of Moses again. We tell him the story of Moses. And Moses is in the Quran, but Moses says that the blood of the lamb has to be painted over every oikos household in order for redemption to come. And I explain it again to him, the blood of the lamb. He's like, yeah. He goes, you have the blood of the lamb, don't you? Paint it over your household, don't you, Jamie? And I said, I do. And he said, Wes, you do too, don't you? It's over your house. It's painted over your household. Wes says, yeah. Sheikh says, it's not painted over my household. He goes, I want the blood of the lamb painted over my household right now. Boom, he falls flat on the floor on his face. We get down beside him, and he says, God, I'm asking you, out of your mercy, to take the sacrificial blood of Jesus and paint it over my household that we might be saved. That's how he prayed. We all burst into tears, crying. Man, I've never heard it prayed that beautiful. Then we're weeping and, you know, rejoicing and all that, wiping his nose. He goes, you know what we got to do? What? We got to, like, get this out there. He said, we need books, pamphlets, we need form teams. He goes, I know I'm a little ahead of you guys, but you know, I'm a religious man. And he goes, and he says, and I'll go to the Muslims and you go to the Christians. And I said, what do you mean go to the Christians? I never heard Christians talk like you do. I've never seen Christians say the things that you guys say. I've never seen Christians bring God speaking into my life. He said, those guys need help. You go to them. I'll go to the Muslims. He goes on TV that week, and he starts to talk about Adam, just like we did with him, exactly like we did it with him. And he starts to tell the story of Adam in the Quran and in the Bible, and he talks about the great sacrifice that's promised by God that will come. And what is the great sacrifice that will come? That whose blood will be painted over our household. That's what he's talking about. He does the hour broadcast, and he's done. He has a call-in show, and people start calling in. What are you talking about? That's what they say. It's beautiful. What are you talking about? What? We've never heard you talk like this before. What is it? What is the sacrifice? And he goes, it's a secret. Tune in next week. And guess what's happened to his viewing audience? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will show you a path. He will show you a path you cannot imagine. And that's what we're going to do this weekend. Thank you.